Let's go ahead and jump in. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke, chapter 11. Let me set the scene. So often, Jesus, when he was alive and he would spend time in the temple and spend time around in kind of the marketplaces and stuff, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, would kind of follow him around and they would challenge him at different points. And this is kind of one of those times. And so Jesus is around where there's a bunch of these religious leaders, and that's where we jump in at verse 37 of chapter 11 here. And it says this: "While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he, Jesus, did not first wash for dinner." And so in this time, a big part of the Jewish religion was this whole, there was this like cleansing, there were tons and tons of like cleansing ceremonies and washings and all kinds of stuff, but especially before you ate a meal, and especially if you were in a guest house, there was this process that you were supposed to go through of washing your hands and doing all these kinds of things. It was almost like a ceremony before you got to eat dinner, and or supper, or however you say it, I don't know, dinner. And so Jesus is in this religious leader's house, and Jesus is considered a rabbi, a teacher, even by this Pharisee at this point. And so the Pharisee fully expected Jesus to follow the rules of the time. But Jesus didn't. Jesus just came in, sat down, and was like, "All right, what are we having for dinner?" And so then the Pharisee was kind of thrown off by this. Verse 39, "And the Lord said to him, 'Now you Pharisees, cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you.'" So imagine this scenario. Before you have two cups. If I were better, I would have like prepared this ahead of time. But imagine two cups, okay? One of them is full of just dirt and nastiness on the inside, but the outside is perfectly clean. I mean, like as clean gets. And the other one is really, really dirty and kind of nasty on the outside, but the inside is as clean gets. If you had to choose, which would you rather drink from? Right? Jesus is using this illustration to come back at this Pharisee, and he's saying, about this cleansing thing, right? And Jesus is—he's brilliant in this way. He always connects the things around him and the world around those he was teaching to what he was talking about, so that it was more tangible to them. And so, the Pharisees questioning Jesus about this cleansing ceremony, and Jesus looks back and goes, "Look, you religious leaders, you spend all this time washing yourself and doing the right thing and following the rules and cleaning yourself up to look presentable, while on the inside you're as dirty and broken as everybody else. You're as dirty and broken as everybody else." Just like this Pharisee, on many different levels, we all have these facades, right? These Pharisees were cleaning themselves, doing the rituals, wearing these like certain types of clothes. There was like this whole like crazy list of things that they would do, and they did all this stuff, and if you know were watching them, you would think, oh, these are like the holy of holy people, right? They know God more than anybody. They know everything more about God than anybody could ever, and they do all these things. The same about us. There are different ways that we live our life in these facades that we put up, or better yet, these masks that we wear to hide who we really are. Right? I mean, can we just be honest here for a second? You don't really have to like tell me, but I know, because it's a part of what all of us do. There are these masks that we put on to sort of hide who we are, to hide the brokenness, to hide what we think is messed up, to hide what we think are the imperfections and flaws and failures and all these certain sort of things, or maybe masks we put on to fit in with certain things. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit on that. But that we all have these masks and these facades that we put up. But there are three specific ones that I want to talk about tonight that I think all of us at different times put on, and I think it's most prevalent for all of us. So there are three different types of masks that I think at some point or another, if not at the same time, we put on as we go through life. The first one is what I call the "I'm fine" mask, right? Somebody walks up and says, "Hey, how you doing?" You're like, "I'm fine, I'm good." But are you though? Are you really? I mean, you might be. That's awesome. That's cool. I mean, if you are, that's, I mean, so I'm not like saying you can't ever say like, "I'm fine," right? And so sometimes, yeah, things are awesome. Things are great. Sometimes you're fine. Yeah, it's okay. But I bet more often than not, somebody asks the question, "How you doing?" The answer isn't really, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine." There's this openness and vulnerability that we're really supposed to have that we don't ever do. I didn't, when I was praying through this and I was writing this message, I didn't really want to talk about this particular mask because it's the one that hits closest to home for me. because I always feel like I have to put the smile on and be like, "Yeah, everything's good, man," when it may actually not be a lot of times. But there are all these ways that we do this all the time. Now, what I'm not saying, though, is to like get crazy and let the pendulum swing the other way, because like just before Greenhouse, somebody's like, "Hey, how you doing?" And you're like, "Well, actually," and then you just go into this like whole litany of like everything that's wrong in your life ever, and they're like, "Oh, okay, cool, glad you shared all that stuff. Let's go to Greenhouse now," right? So there's a balance in all this. There was a friend of mine. This is not to do with this particular thing, but it shows like the extreme that people will go sometimes. I had a friend who decided for, I think originally it was going to be like a month, but I think he only ended up making it like a week and a half. He was going to do what he called radical truth. And so that meant that at any given time, he would just say whatever thought was in his head. He would just say everything that came to his head, which is not really, didn't necessarily mean it's truth. That just means that's what he's thinking, right? But it was crazy. There were sometimes that we'd mess with him, though, and we'd ask him questions, and he'd have to say, like, the first thing that came to his mind. It was really fun to mess with him. He made it about a week and a half and realized that he needed to back out of that plan. It was real bad. We're not really meant to live that way. It's not like share every single thing ever, share every thought that you ever have, or any of that kind of stuff, because some of it is meant to be between you and the Lord, and some openness and vulnerability you need to have between you and the Lord. And then some of that, we all have inner circles. For a long time, I used to, you guys know the word click, right? We all hate clicks, but we're all in one. Because I think the difference, though, I think what's wrong with the way we use the word click is you can have a friend group, and it's your friend group that you stick with and the people you hang out with and you like to hang out with. The problem comes whenever you guys are mean to other people and don't let other people in your group. That's where the problem comes in. But it's okay that you hang out with the same people often. It's just how. So when we're asked the question, "How are you doing?" or whatever version of that question that somebody asks you, there's this balance that we need to strike with being open and real with people and not necessarily, and knowing the moment whether you can, how much you can share about those sorts of things. Okay, and this, I don't know if that fully makes sense. And there's always this kind of like tightrope to walk with this. The biggest thing, though, I'm trying to point out is this whole facade of just pretending everything's okay when it's not is not good. It's just not good. You got to have somebody. You've got to have some friends or some people in your life that you can be open and vulnerable with, because holding all that in and just continuing to just keep it all to yourself is not good at all. You see, that's really more hiding than anything else. You're trying to put up the good facade, put on the mask and pretend that everything's good, but you're really just hiding behind the mask. You're not really living life the way you're supposed to live life. See, what all hiding really does is it pushes us away from people and oftentimes pulls us into darkness. Hiding and staying behind that mask often just pushes you away from people and pulls you into darkness. But there's freedom in vulnerability, which is weird to say, because being vulnerable is really scary. Being open and honest with somebody, it's scary. Because you don't know what they're going to do with that information. You don't know any of that. But there's a level of trust that you've got to get to with certain people and be open and live in the freedom of knowing. I mean, there's always Jesus, and as cheesy as that might sound in the moment, But there's always Jesus. Not that you shouldn't share with other people around you, but I think often we do the same with Jesus. Like, we're praying, right? And we're like, if you're of the praying persuasion, we're praying and we're just pretending everything's good. Yeah, Jesus, things are awesome, you know, whatever, yada, yada, yada. And we do the same thing. We put up this mask and we don't ever get real in conversation and prayer with Jesus. We don't ever actually share the deep, dark secret. We don't ever actually talk about the sin we're struggling with or the hard time we're going through or the brokenness that we have in our life. And we do the same thing to Jesus. We just say, I'm fine, I'm good. The difference between, like, me and Jesus, there's a whole lot. But the biggest one is that he knows, he actually already knows that you're broken. He actually already knows the deep, dark secret. But you holding it back and you not surrendering that to him is just putting you in a prison of that mask that you're putting up in front of you. And so there's this mask that we have to take off and learn to be open and vulnerable. And hopefully, in some ways, in the small groups that you have here, you've found some people that you can do that with. And again, I get that it's not everybody that you can tell everything to at all times. There's a balance in that, but there has to be a place that you do that. The second mask is one that I call the chameleon mask or the chameleon mask, whichever, however you want to pronounce that. That's one of my favorite jokes that I've told like four times to people today, because I'm like a four-year-old. Whenever something's funny, you just keep saying it over and over and over again. That's me. That's me. Anyway, the chameleon. How many of you guys have seen Monsters, Inc.? Seen Monsters, Inc.? Right, right. Who's your favorite character? Like, who loves Wazowski? Yeah, Mike? Yeah. Yeah, what about Sully? Big old cute fuzzy Sully. Right, right. Mine is Ross Wazowski. I'm watching you, always watching, right? She's my favorite. See, but the character that nobody really likes is Randall, though, right? Randall, because he's kind of the villain, and we're supposed to not like the villain, unless you're one of those people that's like, right? Unless you're one of those people that's like, I always like the villain, I always root for the villain, you need to change your life. Anyway, Randall, though, What's his thing, right? He's basically a chameleon. He can blend in, or he has the power of being a chameleon. He can blend in and adapt to look like any scenario that he's in. And so, as much as you don't necessarily like that character, we often in life are a lot like that and a lot like him. You see, he really wanted to fit in, right? If you watched like Monsters U, you saw, they did like the story thing. Anyway, he really just wanted to fit in. He wanted to be one of the best at what he was doing, and he used his power of blending into his surroundings as an advantage to try and do that, but just in the wrong kind of way, right? And so we do this to a degree, right? We want to be liked, and so we adapt, and we blend, and we try to fit in. And so, like when I was in high school, one of the things that I was really good at, and this is going to sound like bragging, but you'll see that it's really not. One of the things I was really good at was being friends with anybody and everybody, which sounds cool, right? But the problem was that whatever group I was in, the reason I was friends with them is because I was just acting exactly like they were. We weren't really friends. We just acted the same. We were like, oh, JJ, it's cool because he's just like us. Oh. But I wasn't really. That was almost like the character on SpongeBob. Anyway, I'm distracted tonight. I don't know. I'm all over the map. Anyway, so I was really good at just blending in and fitting in to whatever group I was a part of. And I think a lot of you struggle with the same thing. I think a lot of you struggle with the same thing. You're with one group. Maybe there's some inappropriate joking going on, and it comes to you, and you don't want to be the goody good, right? Nobody really wants to ever be the goody good, though that's what we really should all want to be. Anyway, we never really want to be considered the goody good, and so you join in just because you feel the pressure at the moment, and you're trying to fit in and adapt in the group and be accepted in the group, but you know deep down inside you really shouldn't join in those things. Or maybe it's more serious than that. Maybe there are times you're hanging out with groups and you guys are partying or vaping at school or whatever it is, but then you come to church and you try to be a leader, but then everybody who's in that group knows what you were doing at those other times, right? Those things that you're really not supposed to be doing, but you're doing because it's cool and you're trying to fit in, do all these things. We all at some point, at some level, do that. we take and we put on these different masks. We try to blend in, but that's really just a nice way of saying hypocrisy, right? There's this hypocrisy that we all struggle with. At some level, we're all hypocrites. And we shouldn't be okay with that. I think often, I've even thought this before. I'm like, you know, we're all just human. We all fail. We're all hypocrites. You know, whatever. Just keep going on. Do whatever. Admit it. You're a hypocrite and move on. See, but that's not really what we're supposed to do. There's the admitting part of it, like realizing, yeah, I'm being a hypocrite. Where one time I'm with this group and I'm doing this thing that's not right. I'm not supposed to be doing. And this other time, well, I'm at church. I'm playing good, knowing all the answers about Jesus, but then I'm over here doing this other thing, right? There's a moment where we have to realize that that's not right, but we shouldn't just be okay with that. That shouldn't be just the status quo. Shouldn't just be okay for you to be completely different people or a completely different person at different times to reflect the group that you're hanging out in, because you are you and you're who you're supposed to be. But we hide behind all these masks to hide all these things. The Pharisees, in this passage in Luke, were doing the same thing. They were supposed to be the religious leaders. They were supposed to be the most holy, the most connected with God. And so even though they really didn't have a relationship with God, they didn't really know the God of the universe, they did all these things, they did all the rituals, they put on the facade, they put on the mask, and looked like what they were supposed to look like. But on the inside, they weren't that at all. They were just as broken as everyone else around them. You see, behavior modification is not really what works. So you realize, oh, I keep doing this thing when I'm hanging out with these people and this kind of stuff. Now I gotta, like, you work out, like, if you're one of these kind of people, there's like a 10-step plan now I gotta follow to do this thing to get my life right. On some level, that's an okay thing to do. But reality is the main thing, the main way of getting out of that stuff and moving away from those things is admitting that everything isn't just fine, pulling the mask off, being who you're supposed to be, and running to Jesus, right? We can't do this in our own power. There's a Holy Spirit that's supposed to be the one guiding us and leading us to live the life that we're called to live whenever you are in relationship with Jesus, right? The whole reason that Jesus came and brought rescue and salvation from our sins was so that we didn't have to live in brokenness and darkness and sin anymore. It's the very reason he came was so that we didn't have to hide behind masks and put on all these things and look like something we're not. The very reason he came was so that we could have salvation and be who we were created to be in relationship with him. Pleasing people and fitting in with groups is really just pointless. Because in the end, friend groups change, all of that shifts, trying to please people and doing whatever it takes to please them is ultimately pointless. But pleasing God brings this peace and a strength that you just cannot have on your own, and you cannot get from pleasing the people around you. You just can't. You just can't. The last mask we're going to talk about tonight is what I call the labels mask, right? Like, we all love to take things and put them in these, like, neat little package things and organize stuff. And so we place labels on people around us. We allow people to place labels on us. Or maybe we place labels on ourselves. And we try to just categorize things and do all these neat little things. That's not how life works. That's not how life works. We're all different. There's different things, but... And so labels, to an extent, everything has its, you know, good and bad sides. The biggest downside of labels is that we allow it to box us in. We care so much what people think about us, and they say this thing about us, and so then we've allowed whatever they say to become a label on our life and to believe it, and so then we start putting on whatever it is and being whatever they put on for us, or trying to run away from whatever label it is but never fully succeeding in that. Some of the biggest issue in this area, I think most of us struggle with, are the labels we put on ourselves. These things, these pressures that we put on ourselves, to do all this stuff, like the Pharisees, trying to do all the right things and doing all the cleansing stuff, whatever, but it wasn't really who they were, and they weren't really doing these things out of love for God. They were doing them to please the people around them, right? They were allowing themselves to be labeled this way and live according to that label instead of really being who they were supposed to be. They were putting this mask on themselves and hiding and living behind that. On some level, though, in our American culture, you ask the question, well, aren't we supposed to be, you know, making something of ourselves, or aren't we supposed to be striving to be anything we want to be, and any of this kind of stuff, and all the whatever American good feel statements about, you can be president one day. Probably not, sorry. Right, do you want to be president? Probably not. It's a crazy job. But this whole idea of all this, if you really dig down, is kind of a silly notion, because then we start to work and label ourselves and strive after that thing. If you come on Sunday, you'll actually see a video about him, but there's a missionary in Africa who has one of the coolest names of all time, Dr. Pepper. He's a medical doctor. His last name is Pepper. The coolest name of all time. Has to be Dr. Pepper, right? Awesome. He's been in Africa for a long time now, doing medical mission stuff and doing some, and God's used him in some incredible ways. But early in his life, he worked for NASA in Houston as a doctor for astronauts, making sure that they were physically fit, got the care that they needed to be prepped to go into space, and when they came back, getting them acclimated back to Earth and all that kind of stuff. And he absolutely loved his job. Absolutely loved it. To him, it was the coolest job he could ever have. He wanted to be a doctor, and then to be a doctor for astronauts, like, it doesn't really get any cooler than that unless you're actually an astronaut, which is the coolest thing of all time, right? You don't ever really want to hang out with an astronaut, though, because then anything you say is just dumb in comparison. He's like, oh, yeah, when I was in space. Here we go again. Cool, you went to space, guy. Thanks. Cool. Anyway, I'm not bitter at all. No, I won't let myself go there. Anyway, Dr. Pepper, he had this cool job. To him, coolest job he could ever have. He allowed that to be his life, and, you know, with good reason, right? He probably made some good money, got to do some really cool stuff, hang out with some really cool people, and all that stuff. But there was a moment they started to feel the Lord call him in a different direction. He was feeling the draw to do missions. Since I kind of gave it away at the beginning, ultimately that's what he did. He quit his dream job, to him the coolest job of all time, gave all that up, and went on a mission, moved to Africa, and has been there and done some incredible things, probably some way cooler stuff than he did with NASA. But he talks about, and you'll see in the video on Sunday, so plug to come Sunday. He talks about there's this moment where he had to choose. Do I do what I want and do the thing that I think is the coolest thing I could possibly do, or I do what God's calling me to do and actually created me to do ultimately? For him, choosing to do what God had called him to do and ultimately created him to do was what he had chosen to do, which is awesome. But in this same thing, we can allow ourselves to be labeled by whatever it is, like, you are the star at soccer, or you're the best flugelhorn player. I don't know, whatever it is, like, you allow yourself to be labeled as the kazoo guy or something, I don't know. And then you strive really hard after that thing, and you allow your life to be about that so much that you miss other opportunities, so much that your whole life is about that thing. You've allowed that label that maybe your parents put on you, or you've put on yourself, or the people around you put on you. You allow that to dictate your life and not God. So then the mask you put on is controlling you instead of the other way around. Right? With the I'm fine, you're kind of controlling that, right? You're the one that gets to choose that and that kind of thing. But at some point, these labels, we allow them to be, this mask to put on us, ultimately it ends up becoming the control of our life instead of what's supposed to control our life, which is God. King Solomon, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11, he says it like this. He says, "Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil, excuse me, Huntsville, right? Ecclesiastes 2:11. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun, which sounds super depressing. And in some ways, the way we're brought up to think, that is kind of depressing, right? Like, I'm supposed to work hard. I'm supposed to do all these things and do the American dream, do all this stuff and whatever. I'm supposed to make straight A's. And don't tell your parents this. You don't have to. It's fine. But, like, we strive after all these things, and we work hard, and we do all this stuff, and we exhaust ourselves doing all of these things and living by all these labels and putting on all these masks. In the end, without God, it's all worthless. It's all worthless. You see, we won't ever really be free, which is what we think we are when we're doing these things. We won't ever really be free if we define ourselves or let others define us, right? Ultimately, it's when God is the one who is bringing definition to our life and drawing us into the paths and the ways that we're supposed to be going, that we really live the life that we are called to live. How many of you guys have ever read or seen any of the Chronicles of Narnia? Right? Chronicles of Narnia? So a lot of you are probably familiar with, like, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and all that jazz. But one of the books is A Horse and His Boy. How many of you guys even know that that exists, right? A Horse and His Boy? Yeah, it's one of the latter books. There's this, spoiler alert, I'm about to, like, give away the whole, like, book, so sorry. No, listen. There's this character named Shasta, which is pretty cool. It's a cool name, right? Did the drink come first? I don't know. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, the drink, Shasta? Yeah, some people? Yeah, I'm old. It's cool. Anyway, this character, Shasta, he runs away from this unloving, mean master that he had, who was a fisherman. And he has a partner who is a talking horse, which is awesome, right? Who doesn't want a partner talking horse? Anyway, he has this partner who's a talking horse, and Shasta and this horse go off. He runs away from his master and all this stuff, and he goes around the world basically saving the world, doing all these on these adventures, doing all this stuff with his partner in crime, talking horse, and ultimately saves the world. But throughout the whole story, Shasta, he sees. He's constantly seeing himself as an orphan servant boy who has really no home and no purpose. He's kind of just aimlessly wandering around on these adventures and that kind of thing. But toward the end of the story, he's done all these things. He's done a lot of things to save the world and do these adventures and save certain people. But his ultimate goal, he's trying to get to the king. He finally gets to the king just in time to warn the king of some impending doom, like an enemy that's coming. And it's at that point that we realize in the story, and he realizes that all along he's actually the son of the king. So he was this servant boy for this fisherman who was unloving and uncaring and abusive because he had been kidnapped as a child. His whole life he just thought he was worthless and was nothing. But in the end, he actually finds out that he was actually the son of the king. He had been living with this mask imposed by his circumstance a little bit. He'd been living under this all of this stuff, thinking he had no purpose, thinking he was worth nothing and all that kind of stuff due to some of his circumstances. But then he finds out who he actually is. Do you think in that moment when he finds out who he actually is, he's like, oh, cool, I'm the son of the king. I'm going to go back to the fisherman now and live like a servant and be abused, right? Do you think he actually would do that? That would be completely and utterly ridiculous. What do you think he did? He was like, what up? I'm living in the palace now, you guys. It's awesome, right? I sounded super weird just then. Won't do that again. Anyway, but like he really, I mean, what would you do in that point? You realize that you're the child of a king. You're not going to do anything but live with the king and do like what prince and princess things and all this stuff, right? See, the reality is, though, that each and every one of you are already the child of the king. You were created by God in the image of God to be in relationship with him, to be a child of God, and to live with him in purpose with him in his purpose. From birth, we're put in these circumstances where we think that we're nothing and there's sin and brokenness and darkness that separates us from our Heavenly Father. But then Jesus enters the story and he brings a way, he brings salvation that for those who choose it, you're able to stop living with all of these masks and living with these under these labels and stop living with and having to please the people around you and pretending that everything's okay. But you're actually able to shed all of these masks and all these labels and to live exactly how God has created you to live for the purpose he's created you to live for. You see, for Christians, a lot of us, I think we forget early on, you know, whenever you accept Jesus and you step into being in a relationship with him, you realize at some level you're like, okay, I'm a child of a king, and you kind of start to live that way, but often we allow ourselves to still be drawn back in. We allow ourselves to drift, and we forget who we really are. And so maybe you need to spend some time remembering who you are and running back to Jesus and living a life that is for him and not to please those around you and not to pretend that everything's okay all the time and all these things, or to live by some kind of label that others have imposed on you. For others of you, you're not a Christian. You've never given your life to Jesus, and so I'm just letting you know that you are a child of the King. You were created by God. Who you are, whether you like it or not, sorry, you're created who you are by God uniquely for a reason and on purpose and for a purpose. And through admitting that you need Jesus, by believing and putting your faith in him and confessing your sins, you can be made right with God and take all of the masks, all of the labels, all of the things can be torn down, and you can be in relationship with him, and you can live a life that is worth more than all of the vanity and striving that we often live for. The band's going to make their way up at this point, and we're going to sing another song. But what I want you to hear is that all of these masks, all of these things that we live for, are not what we were created to live for. We're not created to have fun with friends on the weekend, but then show up at church and pretend everything's good and pretend like we're leaders and all that kind of stuff. We're not supposed to just pretend like you're fine all the time. We're not supposed to please others. We're supposed to live a life that is free in Christ and a life that is in relationship with God, and that being the driving force of everything that we do.